I find myself in a place more these days than ever before, and I never really thought I was a crier, but I find myself with tears in my eyes a lot. Driving down the road and just, you know, yeah, Jack. Jack is a crier. Hey, man, that's okay. I'm right there with you, buddy. I mean, you know, you're just driving down the road and just have a thought, but things just seem more tangible right now. More potentially real God is now than ever before. It's not because he wasn't. I think people have reached a place where they're no longer willing to have a concept of God. They just want God himself. Amen? People have reached that place of, I've done that, I've said that, I've believed that, I thought I believed it, I thought I said it, and I thought I did it right. And I just want God. Because the missing ingredient that's not in someone's faith confession that doesn't work, prayer that doesn't seem to get an answer, is just God. I mean, it's a big missing ingredient. But that's the one. Just recently, we had someone at our healing center. And, you know, they gave a flawless, very convincing thought that just said, I know I'm healed. I know what the word says. And I know I believe. I just need this to be manifest. I need it to be gone. And that sounds, you know, the moment I heard it, it's that sound. What sound? That sound like, you know, someone's fingers on a chalkboard. It just turns you sideways, because if you believe and you know you're well and you just know, then that is gone. Unless we're not connected to that spark. And what we're doing tonight is become acclimated. That's what this is. And that's what's going to happen over the next few days. And so I just encourage you the best you can to get here as many services as you can. And of course, it's not even to hear us speak. In one sense, and I'm kind of giving away some of the things that are in my heart to share, but in one sense, we have a very little to do with it, because if the Holy Ghost doesn't help you to hear what you need to hear, then you're not going to hear the right thing anyhow. It's just a sermon. But he'll tailor it to say something to you that you need to hear. And in that hearing, something ignites. Amen. I believe we're going to all get real old-fashioned in the days, weeks, and months, and years to come. Will people just get back down on their faces before God and just find him? Amen? And all the fluff will go, amen, and whether or not you're saying it right or not saying it right, it's not about, in a sense, the words, and yet words are important, but it's more the intent of your heart that touches his heart that causes whatever you say to just actually make a connection with him. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for the glory. My wife and I, we're learning to just stay in the glory. Woo. Hallelujah. And the more we stay in the glory, the more we recognize his angels that are all around us. And they're even here tonight. You know, at one point I kind of asked the Lord, why do I need angels if the Holy Ghost is my helper? Like, what other help would I need? But then if God sends an angel on a mission, then he sees that I need that angel for that particular mission. So there's no sense in withholding or, you know, telling him he can't help me because I got the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Holy Ghost is God too, you know. So he obviously knows we need those angels in this room. And there's healings here tonight. Let's get real healthy for the next 3 days. Amen? This is a conference where the life and the Spirit of God is. So we're going to share some things, and Annie and I are going to just tag team a little bit here and just minister on some things that might just stir you up concerning the healing presence of the Lord. Remember, prayer in its simplest form is interaction with God. So if you interact with him concerning the healing presence of the Lord, we've actually had some prayer here tonight. So you say you're turning it to a healing meeting, not a prayer meeting. No, we just want to get everybody, I had it in my heart, we want to get everybody healed. Get rid of those sicknesses and diseases. Just a couple weeks ago, I heard a testimony back from a lady we laid hands on that had kidney disease. And 2 days after we ministered to her, her kidneys started working perfectly. So she thought to herself, well, I think I'll make an appointment. So she made an appointment, and the doctor said, well, what's wrong with you? She said, well, it's not what's wrong, it's what's right. She said, you ought to check me. And they checked her out and found out there's no kidney disease left in her. They just told her to go, get rid of all your medication. You don't need anything. And they told her just to go and be well because her kidneys work perfectly. In that same meeting, there was a lady there with syphilis that had scheduled for a surgery. So she walked with a cane, surgery for a new hip. And within a couple of days, she had an appointment. And when she went into the appointment, because she didn't hurt, she didn't have her walker or her cane and walked right into the appointment. Well, not only did the lady, the receptionist, notice her, but the receptionist called other nurses and others in the office and said, come see this lady. And they all said, what are you doing? And she said, well, I didn't hurt anymore. I thought it was really cool, so maybe you should check me out. Well, they did blood work on her, found out her blood was perfect. She didn't have syphilis anymore. And they checked her hip, and then they told her, we're canceling your surgery. There's nothing wrong with your hip. Praise the Lord. There's this man that was in the hospital. He just got out of the hospital the night before, and he came to the Sunday morning meeting. And he writes, I didn't really want to come because of how I felt. He said, but I came. They found all these blood clots in my chest. My heart was in horrible condition. I was on all these medications. He said, but what's strange is before I came to the service, for some reason, I saw myself running around the church. He said, so, Brother Jim called me out, and I came to the front, and he looked at me, and he said, now take, because I said, I had my hands like this. He said, take your hands away from your chest, and he hit me right where all those blood clots were. And then he looked at me, and he said, now run. And he said, the reason why I ran is because I saw myself run before I came. So I ran, and then I kept running. And I kept running, and I kept running. And he said, as he walked out of the service without any cane, he said, I'm perfectly whole. Amen. And so he's going back to get his testimony as well. It's just becoming more and more, I don't know, prolific, you could say, just normal, consistent, to watch people just get healed. And one of the reasons is because we're all beginning to sense God. You know, when you're confronted with the evil of the world, even as the scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 5, when the darkness comes, the light will even be greater. Or where sin abounds, grace does superabound. So where sickness abounds, healing superabounds. And it's in the glory of the Lord that you begin to actually experience the healing and the victory of the Lord. So tonight, this is really fun. Amen. We're going to share a few things. I'll pass it off to Annie. We may go back and forth a few times. But before we're done here tonight, people are going to be healed all over this room. Amen. And we'll rejoice at the end, and we'll sing, and we'll praise the Lord in the same glory at the end that we started with here tonight. And this will be the way we'll kick off this meeting as the Sosbys come late tonight, and so they'll be here in the morning with the rest of us. But I just can assure you of this, in these meetings, there'll be so much more prayer than we've had the last time that we're here. So I want you to get ready, because we want to pray, and the Lord's going to help us all to come up in our prayer language. It's really needful. It's really important. Our prayers make tangible presence available, dynamic in its working. Amen? And we're going to learn a bunch about that this week. So praise the Lord. Lift your hands with me. Father, we just thank you for the presence of the Lord. We thank you for the glory that covers this earth in the same way that the water covers the sea. Lord, I give you praise tonight. The glory of God settling upon these people that have come tonight. And I release the assignments of the angels that are here to move and manifest themselves and bring the deliverance to these people that they're on assignment to bring. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your glory. Oh, the glory. We thank you, Lord. Such a wonderful presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, arthritis is beginning to disappear in many of you here tonight. There's pains in your joints that are disappearing as I'm speaking. Thank you, Lord, for the glory. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord, in the glory. Lord, we worship you in the glory. For Father, it's in the presence of the Lord that that heart is being healed. Right here, right now in this room. I can see, Lord God, the valves of that heart being massaged by someone's hands. And that heart begins to beat, and the strength comes, and healing is yours wherever you are. Because it's in the glory. Hallelujah. Even someone here tonight, you're able to read without those glasses. Sharpness has come back to your eyes. There's spots in someone's eyes that are disappearing even as I speak. Thank you, Lord, for the glory. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just hear the word spleen, and I don't necessarily know what would have been wrong, but I hear that word, spleen. I see it. I feel it. I just know something's happening in someone in this room, in the internal organs, especially in the spleen. I also see kidneys beginning to work even as the testimony was spoken. That same presence is here for someone's kidneys to work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the glory. Presence of the Lord. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. So good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anne, are you getting anything while we're just talking like this? Because you can jump right in. Before I speak, why don't you just do a little? Amen. Or do a lot.
Scripture. 2 Kings, when Naaman the leper came. And when Naaman came, you know, his servant said, you know, you ought to go see the prophet. And so he went, and the prophet didn't even come out. He just said, told his servant to go out and tell him to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And the Bible says Naaman was wroth. He was upset. Because he said, I thought he'd come out and do something. I thought this, I thought that. I'll tell you what, we have a lot of thoughts. Amen. And in the Old Testament it says, you know, the unrighteous man, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He's talking to unrighteous people. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. But now we're righteous, and we have the mind of Christ. Amen. We can have his thoughts all the time. Amen. But at the same time, you got to yield to him to get his thoughts. You got to hear what he says and think like he thinks. And he's inviting us into that place. Amen. But when Naaman said, you know, I thought this, I thought that. And there's a lot of times in our circles, if you will, in our camp, circle, tribe, people, whatever you want to call us, we kind of have ways that we do things, ways that we expect things to go. We have, you know, we're gonna believe God. We're gonna stand. We're gonna stand on the word. We're gonna stand. And then the Spirit of God begins to move, and we go, we're gonna stand. And God wants to do some things among us. Amen. And it might not look the way you thought it was gonna look, but the ultimate result is that he gets the glory because you get your healing. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit. Amen. He just wants us well. And there's so many ways he can get it to us that those of us that have been such sticklers for the word, we decide how we're going to do it. This is how it's going to be done. And then somebody else comes along and has a word for you or something, and all of a sudden we kind of sometimes get this thing kind of like Naaman did. Well, I thought I was going to stand. I mean, God will get more glory if nobody lays hands on me. God will get more glory if I could just get it on my own. As if he's going to get less glory. Are you going to take some of it? No. No. He's going to get more glory if nobody lays hands on me. He's going to get all the glory no matter what. Amen. But we get this thought sometimes that I've got to get this. No, you just have to connect with him. You just have to connect with him. Amen. We're not trying to impress him with our faith. Come on, it's not that faith impresses God. Faith pleases God because faith is trust. It's trust, and trust is personal. And when you trust him and open your heart to him, just open your heart to him, not open your heart to a method. Open your heart to a way he moves. I'm going to wait for him to move this way. No, just wait on him. That's what we're doing. We're just in his presence, and he's moving. But if we think he's just going to move in a certain way, we're going to miss what he wants to do in us. What if he says, do this? What if he says, do this? What if he says, run? And it's in that. What if he says, dip in the River Jordan 7 times? It's in that. Whatever he says to you, Mary said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Amen? Because Jesus in his whole life said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I hear my Father do. Therefore, I'm in his face to hear and to see and to do. Glory to God. Amen? He's here to manifest. Not just in these meetings, but he's here to manifest, praise God. And some of the things that are going to happen in this house are a new beginning for many in here. Amen? A new beginning, a new connection made with him. You ever had to rewire something? Was faulty in some way, or it was just, you know, the wires got worn out and you had to rewire something. Sometimes I think God needs to rewire us. You know, we've just got frayed over time. But he's energizing us, and his power is flowing on the inside of us. Glory to God if we'll open up our heart to him. Just open. Just open. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We want it His way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And His glory is in this place tonight. So if He's here, which He is, He wants to do something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We didn't just come to hear. We came to be. In Luke chapter 6, the Bible says the multitude came to hear Him and to be healed. They came to hear and to be. They came expecting to leave with something they didn't have before. They didn't just come to hear a message. They came to hear and to be changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. The glory. It's the glory. It's the glory. It's the fire of God. Amen. He answers by fire. God still answers by fire. You need some things burned out of you. Medical science calls it laser. Medical science calls it chemo. But God calls it fire. Hallelujah. And He is the God who answers by fire. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I said He answers by fire. You need something burned out of you tonight? You need something driven out of you tonight? He wants to answer by fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the fire falls on a blood-soaked altar. And Jesus offered His own blood. Glory to God. One time for an eternal redemption for us, so the fire can fall on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's burning something out right now. It's burning something out right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody's retinas are being healed right now. Your retinas are being healed. Just take it right now. Hallelujah. You don't even need hands laid on you. He's moving. I said He's moving. Praise God. Your retinas are being healed right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's a tumor, a mass in someone's breast. And it's being dissolved even right now. It's being burnt out right now by the fire of God. Even starting to feel a little heat in that area. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's dissolving, disintegrating right now, that tumor in your breast. It's going right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone else, there's a growth on your back, a growth in your spine inhibiting some movement, yes, but the pain, I don't even know if you know it's a growth, but there's a growth on someone's spine. He's burning it out right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. That heat you're feeling in your back right now, that's the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's the fire of God right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If that was you, the retinas or the lump, the tumor in your breast or that in your back, let me see your hand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody in the room. I know people watch online as well, but somebody in the room tonight is being healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody say the fire. The fire. Hallelujah. He answers by fire. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. First tag.
Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and turn your Bibles. I want everybody to get in on this. Exodus chapter 15. So there's some things that we'll share with you that just gets everybody to be able to get in on healing tonight. You know, there's a bunch of things that have been shared already, and those things are working in people. And if this was our first rodeo, then we would maybe be scared if a hand wasn't raised immediately. But since we've done this for years and years and years, I can tell you those things are working. What's been said, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. So there's pneuma and there's zoe. He's in those words. And when he's speaking to us and giving us unction on things, that's actually just as much life as hands being laid on you, as Jesus appearing to you. There's just all different kinds of forms of way that God can touch you. But just know that what's already been spoken, the Lord's doing that right now. Joints, how many already can tell that there's, as far as your joints are concerned, that there's pain is leaving them? Got a couple hands over here. Anyone else? Some hands right there. Anybody else in this section? Praise the Lord. Couple in the back raising their hands. And so thank God for that. Amen. I know the whole growth thing, especially for some woman in the chest area, that is gone. I had that this afternoon while I was praying. The Lord was going to do that. And I believe he's going to actually touch some others as well in that same area. But someone's is already gone. So I know these things are happening. And we speak as though we know, because the Lord speaks it as though it's so. When you get something from the Lord, he doesn't say, you know, I'd like to at some particular time in the next decade actually do this. Well, then, Lord is part of that decade right now. You know, if there's a variable in it, it leaves wiggle room. Not only for God, you know, it leaves wiggle room for you. But God doesn't speak like that. He always talks with absolutes. And you need an absolute for you to put your faith on it. So you'll hear Leanne in the course of the next couple of days say some things that back in the day in prayer school we grabbed a hold of, which is, John chapter 10, 1 through 5, where the shepherd said about his sheep that my sheep know me, my sheep hear me, my sheep recognize me, you know, and they follow me. And the voice of a stranger, the Amplified says, they do not know and will not recognize him. Well, look at how Jesus spoke those words. He spoke them with such absoluteness. If you're the sheep of the Lord, then you hear him. Well, I don't know that I've ever heard him. No, that would be lying. That would be taking a contrary position. Well, I'm not real good at following the Lord. Again, you'd be lying. Well, I've never really experienced him. I'm sorry, but again, that's not what the Master said. He said you do know him, which means you do experience him, you see him, you hear him, you follow him. And he says it like that so that you'll take up that position and use the word like a sword and say to yourself, thank you, Lord, that I hear you. And the moment you believe that you hear him, then everything about what he said comes to pass. You'll end up throughout the course of the day having some instances that you might just think is a little nuance, and all of a sudden you realize that was the Lord. He was showing me something. He was revealing something. Amen. And then all of a sudden, your faith is encouraged because you do hear him. You do see him. You do follow him. So the same thing is true when he speaks something about someone's body being healed. We don't reveal that like we're trusting tonight that someone's a tumor will leave. Well, that's never worked. You know, when people come up and say things, and I learned this in healing school because it was kind of the way it was when I got there, which the message was the recovery message. So we're just believing that you'll recover. Well, that never worked. And I just happened to say things other people thought. And folks didn't like that I was saying it, but I was just wanting to be brutally honest. That didn't work. Well, what started to work? Well, the Lord started showing me the covenant. And the covenant gave me every right to believe, if it's in blood, that if I'll actually put myself in a position where it has to work, then God has to be there with me because he said it. And that's the first way he began to show me things, where healing school turned around and we began to have all kinds of healings take place. Because when I got there, there were no healings taking place. We had four healings in a three-month period of time. And we didn't know how those four healings happened, so you can't reproduce what you don't even know. Four in 3 months. And I can't tell you how many people died in those 3 months. So that's going in the wrong direction, don't you think? And the Lord began to show me some of this just out of the blood covenant. And I began to study the blood covenant. And the more I got into that, the more I realized that was kind of like the sheriff in town back in those days. If God said he was going to cut a blood covenant, my goodness, that should get your blood moving, you know. Why? Because God's entering into an agreement that cannot be broken. And that agreement's not with you so that you can break it. That agreement is with Jesus himself. He could find no one greater, so he swore by himself. What does that mean? I'm telling you, the epitome of God getting somebody out of the way so that he can do what he needs to do is God working with Abram. Before he turned into Abraham, God spoke and told Abram, I'm going to settle your questions once and for all. And he told him to go get the animals and the birds that were necessary for a blood covenant. And when he told Abram to do that, he didn't tell him to do anything else. So he didn't tell him, go get the animals and then cut them down in two and position them perfectly so that I will enter into a blood covenant. He just said, go get the animals. But Abram knew what those animals represented. They represented a blood covenant. So he went with great excitement and not only got the animals, but cut them down in two and made preparation for the ceremony. And then there were some vultures that came, and Abram began to shoo them away, and God just went over and went like this and just twicked them in the forehead, and Abraham went into this deep sleep. He's like, you're doing too much. Just we need you out of the way right now. Because God wasn't going to cut the covenant with Abraham. He was going to cut the covenant with himself on behalf of Abraham. And then it's way better because God can't break the covenant with himself. And if Abraham just says, well, that's on my behalf, boom. And we took that knowledge into healing school and started talking different. I stood up that first week and I began to say things like this. Well, praise the Lord, before this week's over, you'll see all kinds of people just jump up healed in this room. Well, they'd never heard that before. Everybody started looking around like, who just came into the room? Who said that? And then as we'd get preaching, it says, somebody in this section just got healed. See, they'd never heard that before. Well, what would make you say that? The blood covenant. He's got my back. I mean, he told me to tell the message as though he were telling the message. How do you think Jesus would tell the message? You know, I'm going to really work the best I can to see if this won't work tonight. No, if Jesus did what we were doing at that time, he would have been a friend of the Pharisees, pontificating and never seeing results. Things had to change. You know, if we say it right, God doesn't have any problem doing it. Amen? So anyhow, things began to change in that first week. People started jumping up healed all over the room. I was shocked because we hadn't seen it like that before. Pleasantly blessed, but realized we stumbled on something. So tonight, thank God those things that have been spoken to you, they're happening in this room. Let's look at the scripture real quickly here. I think you'll be real blessed by it. It'll get everybody a chance to get in on what's going to happen in the next few moments here. But over in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 to 26, and you understand, the children of Israel now have come out of Egypt. As a little bit of the backstory, and you know how they came out, you know, Moses gave that last decree, unless you have blood on the door, your firstborn will die. And, of course, it didn't go well for those that didn't have blood on the door, that didn't believe what was said. But for those that did, now think about this for a second. When the death angel came by, was the death angel looking at the blood? Some would say yes, but I'd say no. The blood made room for a person. See, the blood made room for the glory. So in other words, when that death angel came by a home that had blood, he was looking into the home and he was seeing somebody out looking at him. Because the blood always makes room for the glory. Amen? So those rooms were what? They weren't vacant. Praise the Lord, they were filled. Now, why do you think if they were filled, the next morning, everybody that was in those rooms that had blood on them, they got up that next morning and all of a sudden the pain, they stood straight up instead of bent over. They got up and were able to see where they were going. And then tumors disappeared. That happened while they were sleeping. Because they went to bed in the glory. And the blood made room for that glory. Amen. So this is the backstory. As we come, of course, to the Red Sea, and of course I always say in a fun way, the reason why Pharaoh came after the children of Israel, because after a few days of eating on paper plates, he asked somebody where his gold was. And they said, well, you gave it all away. And he said, I did what? Because, you know, something had to come on him. In other words, something from the Lord had to come on Pharaoh for him not only to say, get out of here, but I'm going to give you all the gold for you to go. In other words, it called a spirit of stupid came on him. The devil always does ridiculous things. Isn't that true? It is. I mean, God's victories, and then the devil gives away all the gold. But he did. And when he found out he did that, because I believe he came to himself and then realized, oh my goodness, what did I do? He went after the children of Israel, and of course, caught up to him at the Red Sea. We know the story. They come through the Red Sea, of course, Pharaoh and his army are destroyed, and they make a three-day journey, and that's where we pick this up here in verse 22, and it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, or bitterness. And the people complained against Moses. Of course, what's new, right? Saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed to the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put, or in the permissive sense, it means I will permit none of the diseases on you which I have permitted upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. We sang that song tonight, Jehovah Rapha. Now, as important as this is, monumental, of course, we're still singing about this event in our song tonight. Extremely important. So anything that we see right here in the Old Covenant where God is revealing himself, it's for the children of Israel to be able to not only take a hold of the revelation, but walk in the revelation. We know the first revelation came in Genesis 2 and verse 4. Jehovah Elohim. You don't have to go there, but that was the first revelation. Why was it the first revelation? Because it took till Genesis 2 verse 4 for God to finish his creation. In other words, you don't reveal yourself to something that can't handle or receive and then manifest the revelation. The last of God's creation was whom? Man. God made man in his image and his likeness, so man could not only receive the revelation of God, but then reveal that revelation in a manifestation. I had somebody talk to me one time and tried to convince me that because this individual was a teacher, he didn't have to manifest the power of God. He just received revelation. And I challenged him and said, well, I get revelation too. And I said, the only difference between me and you is I do something with the revelation and you don't. Well, you know, they didn't go over very well. But the point was, why would God reveal something to you unless you are to what? Walk in that revelation. And what is that revelation without a what? Manifestation. Doesn't that make sense? Otherwise, why reveal? If it's just knowledge. Do we only have a concept of a great God and we have to wait till we get to heaven to see him? Or do we have a relationship that's actually tangible where we feel him, we experience him, we see him, we experience the evidence of him, we have answers to prayers from him? Amen. We walk with him on a regular basis. He does things for us all day long. His influence is everywhere. In other words, you could say it like this. If the influence of sin, if the influence of the world, you know what I'm talking about. You can go a 24-hour period of time working in the world, and you come home and you kind of feel like you need to take your coat off, but you don't have a coat on because it's the influence of the world. How many of us have ever felt the influence of the world? You felt negativity around you. You felt coldness around you. You felt hatred around you. Come on, this country is being led down a wrong path in the sense that people are stirring up hatred. These are negative influences. Well, if negative influences are abounding, then what does the scripture seem to infer? That positive influence from God is super abounding and taking over. And that's the grace of God. The grace of God is like a nuclear fallout. It's like snow that we saw the other day in Colorado when we just watched it all of a sudden come in, and there were all kinds of deer in our yard. And when this snow came, there were at least three mothers with their probably about six or seven fawn that they had, young deer that are now growing up. And you could tell it was their first experience to have snow like this. And one minute, it's not there. Aaron said, when's the snow going to hit? And just when she said it, it's like a cloud came in. And the snow came flying in. And all of a sudden, these little deer started chasing each other all around our yard. And you could tell, and they were prancing, not only running, but then doing that kind of prance where they go like this, you know, that's really fun to watch, you know, where their hind legs and front legs are together and just prancing. It was so fun. And every time I see that, all I think of, that's the grace of God. In other words, the grace of God is so thick in the earth today. Why? What is the grace of God? It's God's glory. And what does it do? It covers the earth in the same measure that the water covers the sea. Now, the water doesn't cover the sea like it's in just parts. Like in this particular part of the sea, you can get wet. But if you stand right here, it's not really there. No, it covers the sea. So any part of the sea, you get wet. Any part of the earth, you get covered in an influence of God's glory, an influence of grace that heals, that delivers, that does things for you on a daily basis. Like one of the testimonies we had on our Adventures in Grace YouTube channel, and we read grace stories every two times a week. One of the testimonies came back in and said, I drove through a drive-through fast food restaurant with my kids and wanted to get them something to eat, and I was really looking forward to getting a turtle ice cream sundae. She said, but my kids ordered so much, I didn't have any money left to get them the sundae. So she said, I just thought to myself, oh, well, the next time I'll get that for me. She said, I pulled around to the window to pay, and here's some girl, I'm watching her walk with a sundae in her hand. She hands it to me out the window and said, here's your ice cream sundae. And it was a turtle ice cream sundae. And she looked, she said, but I didn't order one. She said, oh, well, I guess it's our mistake. It's yours anyhow. And some of you would, you know, make so, well, what's the big deal about a sundae? I mean, I've got a cancer, and you're talking about a sundae. See, you don't get it. You've classified that cancer in a place that's so high, it's even beyond what God can do. See, the connection of an individual soul where God would do that, where the grace of God would look toward even your thoughts, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you what? Ask or think. Ask or think. Ask or think. So in the same way that God's able to do what? To manifest an ice cream sundae that you wanted, but you didn't want to actually order because you wanted to put your kids first, but he knew that you would like it and sent a girl to make one, the exact one you wanted, and then to say, oh, you didn't order it? Well, then you can't have this. No, to say, oh, it's yours. It's our mistake anyhow. The same connection for that gets rid of a cancer. It's not any different. We categorize things. The same way you look at the beautiful trees over the last few weeks, because we were in Connecticut at the Fredericks there, Grace Family Church, and we hit it just right. It was amazing. In fact, in Torrington, it was unbelievable. Literally, some of the mountainsides there, I could only find scattered a couple of green trees because everything was orange and yellow and red. And it just almost took your breath away. And the same way it touched your heart, you went like, oh, that is so amazing. That's the connection that kills a tumor, kills a cancer, raises somebody up from a wheelchair. It's the same connection. We've missed this for so many years by not allowing him to be real, keeping him at bay. And I can say a whole lot of other things that I'll wait to say. So for just another moment, look at what we're seeing here with the children of Israel. And we've got ourselves Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Now let me ask you a question. He gives us a covenant, and what did he heal? In this passage, what did he heal? It's a covenant of healing. What did he heal? He healed the water. You mean his display of I am the Lord now revealing my healing was to heal the water? Because every time he reveals himself, at the very beginning with Adam and Eve, he created them, and then he said, Jehovah Elohim. See, Elohim, the one true and only God. But when he had somebody that could then handle the revelation, as soon as they came alive, guess what God did? He stepped right in to give them purpose by identifying himself to them and them to God and said, now I'm your daddy, the one true and only God. You won't need anybody else. And they saw him right up close, up front, and then started walking with him and hanging out with him on a regular basis. So what was necessary with the revelation? The experience. So what's the experience of the revelation that I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you? He heals water. I want you to see this. God's perspective is really amazing. And maybe our lack of perspective is the reason why we buy into all kinds of things. I mean, think with me for just a little bit. How many people have ever struggled by time you maybe if you got a little bit older and all of a sudden, you know, you started feeling some pains, or maybe you couldn't read, you know, your Bible the same way, your eyes wouldn't focus? And those things happened and you just blamed it on old age. Huh? Have you ever had one of your kids say, well, Dad, that's just because you're old? Well, thank you very much. Right? Well, let me ask you, how come we buy into that? It's because past generations bought into that. And they bought into it for so long that it's become what people think is normal life. Because I'll tell you something right now. If Methuselah hurt like we do at 50 years of age and someone told him you're going to live another 919 years, he would have had somebody shoot him. Are you not hearing me? See, we bought into this. Do you realize there was a day where Adam and Eve felt pain for the first time, and they uttered the words, ow, and never been uttered before. That wasn't in the dictionary that God gave man. He walked in the garden free of pain, free of sickness, free of disease. He didn't know what it was like to hurt or to be tired, to be worn out, to have something in its body, in their body, that was taking life away from them. Come on, he didn't know what it was like to have a tumor. Didn't know what it was like to have an eye that didn't see what it was supposed to see, or an ear to say, huh, what are you trying to say? Or didn't hear what was supposed to be heard. That wasn't a part of creation. So man gets removed from the garden, and all of a sudden, everything begins to go in a downward slide, and man buys into it. And after just a couple of generations, we see what happened. Man was sinning continually, doing evil continually before God brought the flood. In other words, he bought into it hook, line, and sinker. What? Evil. wickedness, pain, sickness, disease, trouble. And we passed it on to each generation until people just believe, you know, you can't escape this. You're just going to have it someday. And Jesus came to do what? Take away all our pain, all our sickness, all our disease. So this is really interesting. I'll try not to take much more than a couple more minutes with it, but what did God heal? He revealed himself as, I am your healer. And what does he heal? The water. Now, in the condition of the water, what would it have done if they drank it? It would have made them sick. It could have killed them, right? How come he didn't heal them? Well, let's just look for a moment. We gave it away already when we were talking about the blood and we were talking about the glory. But let's just look for a second. Psalm 105, verse 37. And notice what the psalmist understood by the word of the Lord. It says, he brought them out with silver and gold, and there were none feeble among his tribes. So wait a minute. The reason why he didn't heal any sick is because they weren't sick. But he didn't initiate the covenant when they got healed, because that represented their salvation, their freedom from what? Sin, or their freedom from bondage in every area. When they were presented with an opportunity to get sick, he revealed his covenant that I am the Lord that heals you, which is removing something that could make you sick because you're too healed to get sick. And if you look at things from that perspective, everything changes about the way you look at Jesus' ministry. He walked up to a man with a withered hand, and there were people that didn't even like him. So he didn't have Robin on the piano and these wonderful backup singers and the beautiful band right here to help him set an atmosphere. These Pharisees are coming against him. They want to find cause against him to put him up on a cross. And Jesus, in the midst of that hostile environment, tells that man, step forward with a withered hand. Notice Jesus looked at it and said, that's a big one. Give me a second here to get ready. I need to pray a little extra. No. What did he say about that withered hand? He said what? Stretch forth. In other words, Jesus never seemed to act like the problem they accepted as a problem was his problem. See, like an old friend told me one time, he said, when I was in ninth grade, they tried to teach me the algebra. I thought that was an interesting way of looking at it. You know, it's like it's an alien from another planet, the algebra. He said, all these X's and Y's. He said, on my final exam, it said X plus Y equals 49. Figure out what X and Y is. He said, I got so happy, I walked right up to the teacher, put my test on the desk and said, what do I care what X and Y is if I got the 49? In other words, you give me the answer, I don't care what the problem is, because the problem could be anything, right? I mean, if you think about it, right? 48 plus 1, 52 minus 3. It doesn't really matter what the problem is, and why would there be a problem if you got an answer? It would just be an opportunity to use your answer. If it's an all-inclusive answer, then there never really is a problem. There's just occasions to show that you have the answer. So everyone Jesus came in contact with, he just showed them that he was the answer. He never acted like there was a problem. So he looks at 10 lepers and says, wow, this is the worst I've ever seen. No, he looks at them and says, go show yourselves to the priest. Right? He says to the man that's let down in the roof, he says, your sins are forgiven you. Which under old covenant, the reason why that people would assume that you were a sinner is because you were sick. So when he released them from sin, that also released him from what? The sickness. So the man could have kept Jesus from having an argument with the Pharisees if he just jumped off the cot. But he didn't know how to do that. So Jesus had to help encourage him to connect with the power, because the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So then what did he say next? He said, which is easier? So they were easy. Each one was easy. To forgive sin or to raise this man up that has no strength in his legs, Jesus said they're easy. Well, when you're the answer, Why do you look at a problem as though it's difficult if you've already got the answer? And what is Jesus depicting? He is the example of Jehovah Rapha. That I'm giving you my covenant, and in the place of this covenant, I am removing something that will make you sick so that you can remain healed. See, God would look at everyone in this room, and any sickness that you have, he'd actually look at you and say, actually, you're well, you're fine. It's kind of like my dad when I grew up. I don't know what your fathers were like, but I mean, he ran me with a pass. He said, you know, do a little post pattern. And I ran down I cut like this, and he threw me the ball, and I caught it, and there is our light post right there. And I turned one, and I'm on the ground, hit my head right on that pole. It never moved. And he walked over, looked at me, and he said, oh, you're fine. Get up. Let's go another path. They would, back in that generation, they never let you hurt. Like your arm would be in a really bad position. They said, oh, it's fine now. Let's go. You know what I mean? And in a sense, that's kind of like God. He's always telling you, you're fine. Well, the doctor said, I know that's a different opinion. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, believe those things which you say. Remember those scriptures? Doubt in the heart, you know what that means? Doubt in your imagination. How do you doubt in your imagination? Seeing the wrong picture and believing it. But believe in your heart. How do you believe in your heart? You see the right picture and believe in it. I just wanted to show you this for a few moments. We'll see if Annie's got anything here in just a second. As we're going to minister to folks here tonight, let's settle some things here tonight. God believes Jesus actually took your infirmity and bore your sickness. He believes all of it's gone. And I don't know about you, maybe this is just my thing, because we're doing a healing center there in Castle Rock, Colorado. But I think it's time we contend for healings the way they used to be. Jude said we must contend for the faith that was once for all given. Almost seeming to indicate when he was giving that thought that maybe it had been tainted. The way Jesus gave the message of faith had been challenged. I think we need to contend for healings the way they used to be. And you know where I'm going with that. What if we brought back to Christians, to Christianity, the idea that you don't even have to go to the doctor. You can just come to Jesus. And if you need help, there's places you can go, and they'll lay hands on you, and every sickness and every disease will come off you right here, right now. And if you even have to go a couple of times until it's all completely gone. And then your report is, I had this growth, but it disappeared. I had this pain, but now it's gone. I was incapacitated in a certain area, but now I can walk. I'm free. And at the most, you just have a doctor's report of what they say. But you have a complete testimony of healing from what Jesus says. I don't know if that registers on you. Is that something that y'all would like? Because we sure, you know, can go round and round the room trying to figure out what the best coverage is for your health care. And those debates end up usually, you know, not being very friendly. Health care is too much. Doctors are charging too much. Hospitals are charging too much. The reason why the health care goes up is because the doctors keep charging more and the hospitals keep charging more. So the health care has to go up to compensate because everybody's using the health care. I mean, isn't this a subject we should talk about? Let's start contending for what God believes. God believes you're actually healed. I mean, if there's a part of your body that doesn't work, he still sees you well. Even here tonight, he believes about you that you're completely healed. And the covenant is to remove from you something that would keep you from actually enjoying your health. He didn't make a covenant of healing to heal you because he believes you're sick. He made a covenant of healing to remove things constantly so that you could just keep being healthy day after day after day after day after day after day after day. And what would happen if a couple of years hit this planet where every Christian who believed this was just healthy every single day and anything you used to have disappeared and you didn't remember what it was like within a couple year period of time to be sick? To have difficulty, to be laid up, to have pains. We might actually get to believing that this stuff is true. But we've got to turn that corner and get momentum going in God's direction instead of in the world's direction. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. So now I take Jesus. And I look at what he did, and I look at the prophets and how they spoke. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He took my pains and he bore my diseases. What is that? That's Jehovah Rapha. He does it ahead of time so that you don't even have to experience it. Because the moment you get saved, you get healed in the whole package. I looked at a guy by the name of Alan with cancer in his body. 8 people had the same report. 4th stage prostate cancer. 7 of them died. And I looked at him, sat in his home, and I told him a story about laying hands on a girl, 16-year-old with leukemia. And I said, I barely touched her because I took a whole pitcher and poured it over top of her head of oil. And she was dripping oil all over her. And then I barely touched her forehead and I said, now you're healed. She went back 4 days later, found out leukemia was completely gone. So in his home, I looked at him, I looked at his wife and I said, go get the oil. And I'm ready to put oil on this guy. And all I heard was cupboard after cupboard slamming as she was in the kitchen. And finally she came out and real sheepish look on her face. She said, this is all we have. We're Italian. I said, well, that looks like it's fine. She said, it's garlic oil. I said, I can't use garlic oil. The guy's going to stink, and we've got a little, you know, ceremony to go to, and we're all dressed up. I said, I can't put garlic oil on him. So then I thought real hard, and I said, okay, we're going to go a different direction. And I looked at him, and I said, now, I'm down in Ocala, Florida, and I'm praying, and I get to this lady in a wheelchair. She was an older lady in a wheelchair. When I looked at her, I said, Mama, now it's time to get up out of that chair. And she looked back really sweet, and she said, well, I can't do that. So I got closer. I said, but I said you can. And she leaned a little bit up. She said, but I said I can't. And I leaned a little closer to him, right almost on top of her like this. I said, but I said you can. Get out of the chair. And she pushed herself up on her arm. She said, but I said I can't. So my next thought to her was, well, where's Jesus in all this? And she looked back at me and she said, Sonny, that's a really good question. I said, okay, I got you located. You're not even saved. I said, you need Jesus in your life and you're going to repeat the sinner's prayer because you can't go anywhere. I had a captive audience. So I reached my hand down, took her hand, and I said, now, do you believe Jesus is God's son? She said, well, of course I do. Do you believe that he's the redeemer of the world and he came here to take your sin and mine? Yes, I do. I said, then make this real simple. Repeat this little prayer after me and ask him and invite him to become your personal Lord and Savior. And I grabbed her hand and said a few words. She said those back to me. I said, did you mean it? She said, yes. I said, now, get out of the chair. And I stepped back and she jumped out and she started twirling like this, just twirling. The whole place began to worship and praise the Lord. And I looked at this guy, Alan, sitting in his home. And I said, Alan, you need Jesus in your heart. The moment he comes in, your cancer leaves. He looked at me and tears started coming to his eyes. He said, I want to receive him. And I prayed a little tiny prayer to him. The moment he prayed that prayer, he grabbed his heart like this. He says, I feel him right here. I said, Alan, you don't just feel him right there. I said, your prostate just got healed. I said, Jesus just killed that cancer. I said, go back to the doctor and find out. He went back in 3 days' time, Salt Lake City. He's the only one of eight that lived. They said he didn't even register any numbers at all, so they added just a couple numbers. Even a year later, I asked him, Alan, what are you doing? Because I was just so thankful that a year later he was feeling so good. Alan, what are you doing to stay healed, stay healthy? He said, oh, I just read the newspaper and I see so many bad things happen and I just give God thanks that he's done such a wonderful thing for me. And I thought to myself, well, just keep on doing it. Why don't we lift our hands? We've gone long enough.